So this week we had our quarterly church meeting, and it's an opportunity for the leadership to, for me to give a minister's report, and also for the leadership to share anything that we wish. And so not everybody comes onto that meeting or on Zoom. Everybody is welcome. But I will just recap on some of the things we took, the main point that we talked about, which was as leaders, we were thinking about the future of Christchurch and the direction that we wanted to go and what we felt God wanted for us. Earlier in the year, in June, we had an away day at Mulberry House, and we actually went to an event that was booked just for leaders, and it was called A Sacred Space. We had a great morning. The morning was facilitated by a lady called Ruth Conlon. Ruth was excellent at helping us visualise what leaving space in our lives would look like. And we used the analogy of logs burning on a fire to help us think of our own spiritual state and what would happen if we were to put too many logs on. If I ask you now to think about a fire you were building, and it would take a while for the flame to really burn, but as it did, you thought you better put more on to keep it going. So you add more logs. Then you add more. You keep adding, and all of a sudden, the flame dies. This is how our spirituality and our relationship with Christ is. It needs feeding. We have to work at it. But if we take on too much without allowing him the space to ignite our flame, we burn out. And that's what makes our spirituality unhealthy. She helped us to visualise and clearly see how we could extinguish a flame by taking on too much work. Not just as leaders, but in every aspect of our lives. And she was excellent at helping us to see what leaving space might look like with healthy spiritual practices and how to be an emotionally healthy leader. She recommended an excellent book to me called The Emotionally Healthy Leader by Peter Scazzaro, and I'm finding it very insightful and hope it will give me sound advice on how to be the best leader I can for you. We had lunch together after, and then we had our own meeting space as we discussed our future vision planning for Christchurch. We'd been discussing prior to this the theme of seeking his presence. This can be quite a loose and open title. So to explain that a little bit more, what could we do? What could we change so that we could encounter God more? We're frequently hearing that we're no longer a Christian country, yet other countries in the world are seeing vast amounts of people come into Christ. And we can ask ourselves, how and why is that happening there? Last week, John mentioned the 24/7 movement in Iran, which I'd encourage you to look up online. We don't want to change things quickly or unrecognisably here, but we do want to introduce some gradual changes which will enable us to engage with God in a more spiritual sense. By more spiritual, I mean that we will leave space to hear from him. Our services can often become busy and structured, and we can forget to casually leave time to hear a response from God. We can pray without listening. The most important person we can welcome to church on Sunday and give time and space to is Jesus. How do we hope to grow and learn what he wants if we don't leave space to listen to him? It could be a simple thing to come up with a vision and write a simple vision statement, but it isn't simple in planning and praying about how we will fulfill it. With this in mind, we've put a great deal of work in, I think, into thinking about what God wants and how we can fulfill what he expects of us and what our hope is in return. There are small changes we've thought about introducing, and I would want to assure you that this is something that we've been thinking, praying about, a meeting to discuss even before June of this year. My sermons going forward will explore seeking him, hearing him, knowing him more. And I've suggested we ask our visiting speakers to do the same. We plan to allow space so he joins us, speaks to us, and to cover subsequent sermons on listening, fasting, healing as some topics moving forward. We'll be thinking about how we pray, when we pray, what we use to facilitate prayer. How can we prepare for Advent together? Perhaps topics for us to engage in every day through Advent on our bulletin. We've been exploring fasting as a leadership too, and at the moment just looking at this as individuals and hoping to be able to feed back to each other at our next leaders' meeting. We're looking for ways to communicate with God and bring us all together on this journey, but with a slow and guided approach. A fresh focus on prayer. As leaders, we have a new start to our business meetings. We always prayed before, but now we dedicate the first 15 minutes to prayer and quiet, allowing us to hear from God, to fully focus on what he wants from us. We may make changes to our communion service, where we put it, or having a shorter sermon and a longer communion, moving to a call for prayer and healing. In the bulletin, I will put a verse to encourage and inspire you, seeking his presence, so that you may ponder that in your prayers. But what do we hope to achieve? To know all aspects of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To picture Jesus, to hear his voice, to get to know him more and to recognise him. By small changes, we hope to be able to transform our inner lives and develop our relationship with Jesus. How this changes the way we do things here at Christchurch is all in his hands, not ours. Now, our reading today. The talk isn't too long, you'll be relieved. Is Moses and the Burning Bush, Exodus 3:1-10. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that through the bush, that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So, God gave me the picture of the burning bush from which he spoke to Moses to talk to you about today. I pondered as to why. My first thought was maybe it had been my picture of the logs and the burning that gave me the image. But that's what a non-Christian might think. The morning I got, This morning I got up and returned to my sermon as always, much to the annoyance of John Paul, as it's never ever finished before Sunday morning. The first thing I read described Moses as the man who was God's friend, as if I needed any more confirmation as to why he wanted me to preach on Moses. Moses lived for 120 years. His life is described in one book as I read this. The first 40 years he learned how to be a somebody living as Pharaoh's son. The next 40 years from the flight into Midian to the exodus in the desert place, he learned how to become a nobody. Finally, the third 40 years from the exodus to his own exodus and as the leader of God's hosts, he learned that God was everybody, the one he could speak to face, as a man speaks to his friends. At the burning bush was the first time that God spoke to Moses. Moses listened almost as if he knew the voice he was hearing. He didn't run away. It was as if he'd heard the voice before. Wouldn't you love to get to a place, if you aren't already, when you really recognise a word or a picture from God? You're not thinking, did I? Was it? You're sure what you saw or heard was from God. How acute their hearing must be and how vivid their imagination must be. Imagine a person without sight. You will only learn the voice by listening. A child first recognises their parents through voice. Their vision is blurred. Moses hadn't gone out looking for God. He was going about his everyday business of tending the sheep for his father-in-law when he saw the bush burning and went to investigate. Would you only expect God to speak to you or come to you when you called on him? Or when you least expected it? Would you like him to seek you in the everyday? When you call a person once, they may sometimes ignore you, especially if it's your child. But not twice. Twice indicates a sense of urgency. I'm calling you. I need you now. If it was your child, they'd probably call back, What do you want? In a whiny voice. But not Moses. He appears to know who is calling him or to recognise an urgency to respond. And he says, here I am. We'd love to hear that when we ask for something, wouldn't we? When Moses says, here I am, we can almost imagine this as, I'm here, I'm ready, what do you require? God replies, do not come any closer. What ground are you standing on? That's an unusual one for us, isn't it? What ground are you standing on? Moses was unaware at that moment that Mount Sinai, as we know it, would be the place of significance that it became. Mount Sinai is also known as the Mountain of God. In a book written by Stephen Need that many of you will know as the previous Vicar of All Saints, this is what he says. Modern pilgrims to Mount Sinai and other holy places stand in a long line of human questers for God. Yet we must never forget that God seeks human beings before they seek him. At the foot of Mount Sinai, St. Catherine's Monastery contains the chapel of the burning bush. From the 4th century, Christians have marked that place in memory of the encounter of Moses with God in Exodus 3. As Moses looked after the flock of his father-in-law, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. The bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. In this story, God calls Moses from the bush. God seeks Moses before Moses seeks God. The bush isn't destroyed, but reveals the fire of God burning in creation. The story of the burning bush was taken up by the early Christians in writings and icons as a paradigm for the revelation of God in creation. They knew that it was through creation that God goes on a journey towards human beings, long before they start seeking him, speaking to people and drawing them to himself. Are we open to seeing the God in the everyday? Perhaps we think he will only come in the times we seek him, in church, during communion, in home group, during our daily prayer time. However, I've probably had more profound moments when I wasn't seeking. But there would undoubtedly be more if I improved my listening skills. Because often I don't allow the time to listen. We can be busy. We have an order of service. We have an agenda. We have a routine. Do we do these things without listening? At times, I think we do. This week I met with my mentor and she asked me the question, when do you most feel the presence of God? And I said it was when I prayed with her. I always strongly feel the presence of God when I pray with her. Is it because she's closer to God than me? Does she know him better? I don't believe so. I believe it's because she leaves space for him to join us. We begin with a long pause to prepare ourselves. We ask him to join us. And then we wait. We pray. And then we have a prolonged space, allowing us to listen to him until one of us fidgets and we come out of our reverie. I could describe it as beautiful, a beautiful moment in amongst a chaotic day, or it was this week anyway, a busy day. That's what we hope for, isn't it? To hear from God. Not necessarily an audible voice, as Moses did, but in our thoughts the answers will come, or a picture will evolve, or a person will appear. It happens. We just need to be closer to God. We just need to talk less and listen more to be able to recognise him. What does God require of us, though, to communicate? Time and space. This passage came to me through a persistent thought that I couldn't shake off. The burning bush, it has to be the burning bush. Was it the thought of the logs on our sacred space? The imagery of a glowing fire? What was it? I don't know. But it had to be the burning bush today. To be known as a friend of God, as Moses was, is a huge privilege. Yes, we know him as a father, and as a parent, we'd expect him to sit in judgment of us, but to forgive us, to guide us and to love us. But to be a friend is different. We may feel more on a level with a friend. We may even feel we can be more honest with a friend without the fear of disappointing them as we might our own parent. How we will meet God? How will we learn to hear from God's voice? How will we know when we hear something that's of God? From what we understand of this passage, God will find us. He found us. He created us. Therefore, he already knows and knew where I was and where I am. He will use us. All we have to do is be ready and say, "Here I am." I think what God is asking of us now is to make Jesus the greatest friend we have. To sit with him, to talk with him, to be honest with him, to learn to listen to him more, and we will naturally become closer to him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we are grateful for the gift of friendship, especially with you. Jesus, you are the friend who remains closer than a brother or a sister. You are the friend who made yourself our servant in life, that you might make us your friends for eternity. You are the friend who laid down your life on the cross for us. There is no more faithful friend than you, Jesus. There is no richer friendship, no deeper intimacy, no greater joy, peace, and comfort than our friendship with you. We thank you for your generosity and forgiveness. Everything that you have, you've made ours, including the friends we get to walk with through every day of our life. We give thanks for the kind of friendships we share, for friends with whom we can be ourselves, friends with whom tears are as welcome as laughter, those with whom honesty is easy. We bless you for friends who encourage us, for friends who love us, who pray and meet with us. We have fun with them and we can be still with them. Friends we love and who love and share the interests that we do. Lord, we know that all good friendship comes from you and back to you. The gospel shows us and gives us the kinds of friendship for which we long, for which we have been made. Lord, we give thanks for you calling us and making us your friends, for this life and for the life to come. May we always offer one another, the friends we have and those we are yet to make, a taste of the friendship that we only have in you. In Jesus' name.